Joining us now is State Senator Petersburg Democrat Joe Morrissey. Joe, great to have you with us. And
good morning, John. How about, are you?
I'm doing fine. Lots to talk about. So little time, Joe. Governor Youngkin, I thought this was fascinating, basically said this. I'm reading the statute here, and it says that, like, the number one job of the General Assembly is to pass a budget, and you guys went home and didn't pass a budget, so I don't think so. So you got to all get your asses back in on April 4th and pass me a budget. No, by the way, I want a tax cut in that budget, and you're not going home until I get one, because, like, that's your job. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to start putting ads up on TV pressuring you to pass my tax cut. Joe Morrissey, pro-business, moderate Democrat, basically you're running Virginia's government. What say you, Joe?
Well, I like your summary, John, and good morning to you and to your audience. All right, so let's just break it down. First of all, we're going back on the 4th. It's going to be all of about 15 minutes to 30 minutes. They're going to pass a resolution, and they're going to agree to come back at a later time. That's number one. Number two, there is no budget now. There will be no budget on the 4th. Why? Because the budget conferees, those are members from the House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, have yet to agree on a budget. In other words, they haven't even agreed among themselves before it is agreed on by the whole body, and that is before the governor then sends his amendments down. So the budget is not close to being finalized. All right? Where are the dividing lines? The dividing lines are, number one, how much money of the surplus do we give back to the people? All right? I tend to believe, John, that you give the majority of it back to the people. If you've taxed them and you did not spend it, and you've, one might say, overtaxed, then rebate it to the people. That's my kind of a libertarian philosophy that I just agree with, all right? As far as your comment about the governor running ads, rather unique. Never seen it happen before, but it appears that Governor Youngkin is still on campaign mode. And the best I can tell, John, is that he feels if he runs campaign ads, that will persuade the electorate to call the legislators and say, do what Governor Youngkin says. I'm not sure that it works out that way. So let me just pause for a moment and try to, you know, maybe you can distill it down a little bit further, and we'll try to make it clear for your audience.
Okay, so he's running ads. Look, when Terry McAuliffe, he wouldn't gavel the session out of conference to come back to pass Medicaid expansion. I mean, he put tremendous pressure on people in districts. This really is nothing new. I guess it could backfire. But I think the bigger thing is Youngkin's playing hardball here, right? And
he
what
is.
What he said is kind of true. It's like, we got the surplus. We got all this money. Virginians are suffering with inflation and gas prices. We need to give it back and not, you know, spend it on nonsense. And that's where the rub is, right?
Yeah, I don't think you ever spend it on nonsense, but you got to decide if you have a surplus. Here's the way you have to look at it. You've got to look at it from a fiscally prudent standpoint. That surplus is there now. It will not. There is no guarantee whatsoever it'll be there in 2, 3, or 4 years. So don't spend it on programs that need to be continually financed, because you've only got the money there now.
Right.
So if you do spend it on a one-time program.
Right.
But the better course, the more prudent course, is to do this. If you've got that money, there's no requirement that you spend it. If you're in a household and the family has a surplus of $5,000, you don't have to spend it on a vacation or new clothes or an upgraded car, because you don't know what will come the next year or the year after that that may be a more important expenditure. So I'm a proponent of, if you don't give it back, then save it, put more of it into a rainy day fund. That's number one. Okay? That's my philosophy. It's a conservative, libertarian, philosophy. With regard to playing hardball, hey, listen, that's what various governors do. It's part of the game. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't offend me. When I saw that he's running commercials, I go, okay, all right, kind of. So what? You know, I know what my philosophy is. If I'm not going to be motivated by a TV commercial, okay, I'm going to be motivated by what I think is right, and I just enunciated that.
You're the deciding vote. I mean, let's just cut to the chase here. When it's all said and done, Louise Lucas and Ben Tribbett can send out as many tweets as they want, okay? She has no power. All the power is vested in one guy right now in the budget, and that's you. That's why you're on this show today. That's why you got your own show, right? Because you're the deciding factor. If you go with Youngkin's tax cut and budget, as you've just indicated you're inclined to, the tax cut is going to pass, and that is going to pass, and you're going to be the reason. I don't think you're going to get another Democratic vote. I doubt you're going to get...
Okay, but here's... Yep, Johnny, almost there, but let me just connect the dots a little bit better. Assume arguendo that I am the deciding vote, and I'm not... I would never, you know, take credit for that or say that, but let's... But first, John, what you've got to have, though, remember, is a budget to vote on. There has got to be a budget that goes to the House and the Senate, the same budget that is voted on by the Senate body. I am not a conferee, all right? So before I can cast what you call that deciding vote, there has got to be a vote, there's got to be a budget that has been agreed upon by the Senate and House conferees. Does that make sense?
And the Democrats control the conferees in the Virginia Senate, right?
Yes, and the Republicans control the conferees in the House. So you have to have an agreement there. Now, the important question is, okay, if you do get once you get that budget, and it will occur, and I vote for it, and other people vote for it, then it goes up to the governor, and now you get to the important point. What about the amendments that the governor sends down? Now we're talking. The amendments that the governor sends down to the budget, let's just say, for the sake of argument, are approved by the House, controlled by Republicans. Then it gets through there. Then it comes over to the Senate, and I agree my vote will have an impact on whether the governor's amendments get passed. You with me?
So if the governor gets a budget without the level of tax cuts that he wants, he can amend it, send it back. And when he sends it back, then it's going to pass the House. Then it goes to the Senate. And if you vote for it, it's 2020. But wait a minute. The Winsome Sears can't vote on the budget, right? She's not a top.
That is correct.
Right?
That
so
is
it's
correct.
2020. If you don't get Peterson, I mean, you might get Lewis. He might want a tax cut because he's going to lose. So that's just my projection. He's dead meat. So he doesn't have anything to lose now. I mean, this is Senator Linwood Lewis on the Eastern Shore. He got redistricted. It's a Republican district. He's in big trouble. He's out. So he doesn't have anything to lose. I don't think Peterson's going to vote for it. He's getting a progressive challenge. So what if it's 2020?
If it's 2020, then the governor's budget amendments don't pass.
They fail. So you're going to need two votes.
Yep. But again, John, here's what I'm going to do. You know me. You've known me for over a decade. I'm fiscally prudent, okay? I had this conversation with somebody yesterday. Actually, I'll tell you who it was. I was down in Petersburg with Republican delegates. Kim Taylor, okay? And I was lamenting the fact that there's too many people, and Kim and her husband run a couple of auto shops, which is great. I mean, they're business people. They understand, you know, that you have, you know, what it means to have a budget. But I was discussing with them that there are too many people that are in the legislature, particularly the House, that don't understand the difference between a B as in billion and an M as in million, okay, that just think that money grows on trees and, oh, we will just spend it. No, somebody's got to pay for it. So, John, I'm going to vote again like you know me. I mean, I've had some financial transactions that you're aware of, and I think you would agree that I'm pretty fiscally prudently sound.
I wouldn't argue with that.
I mean, I said this many times, I spend the people's money like it's mine.
Well, I got home from the Middle East, and I got your letter in the mail memorializing, because Joe, as everybody knows, is a tenant of ours in our building, and so he pays rent and all that. By the way, Ann says your rent always comes in early, so she likes that. But we get a letter yesterday that said, okay, just to memorialize our agreement, I'm paying for snow removal, and you're paying to cut the grass. We got the letter. Ann pinned it up and said, I tell you what, does anything get by this guy? I'm like, no, dear, no. This is, he pay, and okay, and I said, think of this deal. Grass grows in Virginia 9 out of 12 months, right? We might get snow once a year that he's got to pay for the snow removal.
Yep.
So I get to pay for cutting the grass, which is like every week for 9 months, and he does snow removal once a year, maybe.
There you go. Exactly. You know, that's what they call maybe a one-sided deal. Hey, also, John, I want you to share with your listening audience who was outside when he returned from the General Assembly walking up and down that yard, picking up litter and cigarette butts on the street on the contiguous area of the property. Who was doing that?
I got the video. Somebody took a video of you outside of the building picking up Derek Clark's cigarette butts that were strewn all over the sidewalk.
Litter. What? I want the staff to see me doing that. And people driving by, 4, 5, 6 cars were honking the horn. Do I mind that they see that Senator Morsi's picking up trash? No. I like them seeing that. It's not something that is beneath me, it's something that's got to get done.
Did my station manager, D.C. Clark, did he stop dropping the cigarette butts in front of the sidewalk?
Oh, that's good. He did.
Good. We told him to get one of those urns to put the cigarette butts in. That's what happened the other way. Okay, we got a lot of other things here to talk about. John Fres with Joe Morsi, Senator Morsi. Okay. Let's get to, you got a challenge from the left, progressive challenge. Lasheree's Ard got beat, by the way, by Kim Taylor. Nobody expected that. Taylor, I love this lady, Republican, the Colonial Heights area. I got her on my show one time. She's 5 minutes late and says, look, somebody called in sick today, and I had to change oil change oil.
Exactly, yep.
And I got to go wash my hands, so I'll be 5 minutes late. I'm like, okay, this is the kind of person I want in the General Assembly.
Yep.
She's changing oil because somebody doesn't show up and she's got to serve her customers. But you're going to get this challenge by Lasheree's Ard. She's going to spend $1.5 million. They want you out. The progressives want you out. How do you beat her?
Well, here, let's just put things in proper perspective. My district was divided in half, so I either stay exactly where I am, John, in my house, where my children are, don't move, stay in the district that's more Chesterfield and Richmond, and not have a primary challenge and be good for the next decade. Option one. Option two, pick up my family, move the kids to a different school district, pick up contiguous counties, and have a challenger that will spend $1.5 million. What do I do? I'm moving, baby. Okay? Because I want to continue to represent Petersburg and Hopewell, Surrey, Sussex, Prince George, Dinwiddie, Charles City County, and Eastern Henrico County. So I'm not afraid of battles, okay? I'm going to move. I've invested a lot of time and energy in Petersburg and Hopewell and Dinwiddie. I'm going to continue to represent them. How do I beat her? John, I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to go to the electorate. I'm going to knock on the door, and I'm not going to badmouth anybody. I'm going to say, I've been in the Senate for 4 years. These are my accomplishments. These are my bills. This is what I promised to do. This is what I delivered. I will proudly say that I'm a pro-life Democrat, that I'm fiscally prudent and conservative. I'm going to say I fight for Virginians. I put the Commonwealth first, not my party, not me. And people that know that I do that. They know that I vote for what's best for the Commonwealth first. So, John, you know, I'm pretty good with that. I will work my tail off. I'll go door to door and see what the people say. I'm good.
Well,
here's what they say.
Here's why you're going to win. While La Cerise Ard is sending tweets and running around with Clean Virginia and getting money from Michael Bills and his wife, Mrs. Bills, whatever her name is, while she's doing that and she's going to San Francisco to get money from the San Francisco Democrats, you're going to be in Petersburg fixing potholes, fixing sidewalks, helping people with a sewer problem. And that's why we call you Pothole Joe, and that's why you're going to win. You're going to get outspent, but you got outspent anyway. You've always been outspent.
Right.
But well, that's why you're going to win, and we're going to be there covering it. And by the way, you're going to have your radio show on. I've got a signal that gets right to Petersburg, 92.7 FM. And if she wants equal time, she can go through the legal channels to request it, and we'll follow the rules. Not going to happen.
What she's going to do is going to go to Michael Bills and Sonia Bills and say, listen, you gave me $1.4 million last time when I lost my race in House of Delegates. Will you give me, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million to go after Joe Morrissey? And they'll do it because I was very critical of Michael and Sonia Bills. I said they criticized Dominion Energy for making campaign contributions to influence politicians. That's exactly what Michael Bills does. He and his wife, they have spent millions to curry favor with the legislators that they want. One delegate got $700,000. La Cherise gets $1.5 million.
Unbelievable.
They're gonna
try to buy the seat just to get you out, and all the left wing progressives are gonna jump on it, and you're gonna beat them again. So we'll see how that goes. Joe, I got a minute 45. That's it. I gotta go.
No problem.
How do we stop?
By the way, you're also gonna get Planned Parenthood.
Every left wing liberal extremist Marxist group is gonna send her money. And you're still going to beat her, right? Because the people of Petersburg want actual representation, somebody that's going to fix their sidewalk out in front of their home. Joe, I've got just over a minute, 1 minute. How do you stop the referendum in Richmond on the casino so you can get a referendum on a Petersburg casino? Because to me, Richmond had their chance. They voted no. End of story. Time to move on. Under a minute. How do you stop it?
We have language in the budget right now that says JLARC study for Petersburg, and it specifically says Richmond cannot hold a referendum until that JLARC study is done. If that language remains in the budget, and my party and the governor has assured me that it will, then that makes the Richmond referendum that the judge recently approved moot. Once the budget becomes law, the budget is law. It trumps anything that a circuit court judge did. So here's what happens. Wait till the budget comes out. If the budget comes out with those two amendments saying JLARC study for Petersburg and Richmond cannot hold an additional referendum, then that's the law. End of story. Go home.
All right, I want to see casino in Petersburg. Bottom line is, Richmond had their chance. The pro casino people there outspent the anti casino people 100-1. The people don't want it. Give Petersburg a chance. Joe, I got a roll. Senator Joe Morrissey, thank you for being with us.